Carnation Evaporated Milk presents Mr. David Wayne on Stars Over Hollywood.
Now, I don't pretend to be an expert at child psychology, you understand, but this is one juvenile problem I know I can solve. All it needs is a little common sense.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents the world's best-known stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as Joseph Cotten, Angela Lansbury, John Payne. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed a star who may currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Tonight We Sing, David Wayne. The story, To the Bitter End. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember Carnation. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Remember this about Carnation. You can use it just like milk or just like cream, either way. For you see, Carnation evaporated milk, just as it pours from the can, is more than double rich. It has the consistency of cream, there's good rich cream in every drop, and it's heavy enough to whip. That means you can use it for most cream purposes. And Carnation, diluted with an equal amount of water, will serve all your milk purposes, with milk that's richer than any state standard for bottled milk. With advantages like these, you'd expect Carnation to cost much more. But actually, it costs far less than bottled milk, and less than half as much as cream. So it's easy to understand why good cooks and homemakers by the millions insist upon widely useful, economical, double-rich Carnation. It's the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. The milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of To the Bitter End, starring David Wayne in the role of Bill, Uncle Bill. Curtain going up.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, thank you.
He certainly said some nice things about Bill, didn't he, Henry?
Yeah, he probably wrote them for him. Oh, I'll be quiet. I wouldn't miss a word of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate being asked to fill in for Dr. Grissel, and although I make no claim to being a professional child psychologist...
That's right of him.
I do lay claim to having solved one juvenile problem by means of the same applied principles that governs my business and personal life.
Any place around here I can get a cup of coffee?
Keep quiet, Henry.
Last fall, my 11-year-old niece suddenly decided she was not going back to school. When her parents' resources were at an end, they sent for me.
We sent for him?
Why don't you go up on the speaker's platform?
If I did, they'd hear what really happened. Well, I finally got her to sleep.
What'd you use, a sledgehammer?
Bill!
Well, it's not so far-fetched at that. The way that kid has you buffaloed.
What can we do, Bill? She makes up her mind to something and there's just no budging her.
I suppose she is a little spoiled, but then only children always are.
Well, if she were my child, she'd get unspoiled in a hurry.
Bachelors always know how other people should raise their children.
Okay, so I'm a bachelor. But you're just not other people to me, Ellen. You're my sister, and I hate to see you and Henry spend your lives catering to the whims of an 11-year-old.
No, we don't exactly cater to Jackie, Bill, but we don't believe in forcing her. The books on psychology say that makes children frustrated.
Jackie frustrated? This I gotta see.
Well?
And now she says she isn't going back to school, so I suppose you're just going to let her stay home.
Only for the first week or two, and then she'll discover that she's left out of all the conversations when her friends start talking about school activities.
You know what the trouble with you is?
Me?
Both of you, you and Ellen. You aren't organized. You want a house, so you live in a city apartment. You like gay colors, so you buy dark blues and browns because they look better at work. You'd like to be painters or writers, so you work for an insurance company.
And all that's because we lack organization?
Exactly. Now take me. I've organized my life so that it includes everything I want. A new car, a slick bachelor apartment, a job I like, a beautiful girl I can see as many evenings a week as I want to.
Aren't we getting away just a wee bit from Jackie's refusal to go to school?
No, not at all. It ties up. Organization. She needs it, too. Why, if I had her with me for 1 week, I
Well,
could...
it's a week until school begins, Bill.
I know she'd be thrilled with the idea of spending it, will you?
Well, now, just a minute. You aren't suggesting that
I'll
she
go and pack her things.
Oh, look, Ellen, I'd love to have Jackie with me, you understand, but a bachelor's apartment is no place.
I'll go wake her up. She'll be thrilled to death.
Oh, well, look, it's raining out, and
I could drop her off at your place on my way to work tomorrow.
Oh, why wait, Henry? Let's get her up and dressed now. Bill's got a nice new rainproof car, a well-organized car. I'm sure Jackie won't catch cold.
Gee, I like it here, Uncle Bill.
Why, you've been here before.
Not to live.
No, that's right. Well, it's late. You'd better get to bed.
Where?
In my bedroom. I'll sleep out here. There's a Murphy bed right here on the wall. I'll have to move a few things first.
Gosh, I've seen Murphy beds in the movies, but this is the first one I ever saw in real life. You press a button, don't you?
Yes. Well, I'd better get out to clean towels for you and turn down the bed.
Is this the button?
Yes, but don't... Oh, my new table and the lamp Pam gave me.
Gee, I'm sorry. Really, I am.
Well, you should be. I told you not to put
but
that...
But you said you didn't like the lamp and...
I said I didn't like the lamp?
Yes. Mother and I were here one Sunday morning just after you moved in. And you were hanging the drapes. And Mother said they were the wrong color if you were going to keep the lamp on that table. And you said...
Wow, that was 3 years ago. You still remember?
Oh, yeah. Mother says I have a memory like an elephant.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Now, suppose you remember that it's bedtime.
Well, sure. I was only trying to make polite conversation.
Well, don't be so polite. I'll get your room ready, and then I'll try to clean up the mess in here. Now, don't get into any more trouble. Oh, for goodness sakes, why did you put the bed up? I have to sleep in it.
It's fun.
Well, it's not a play toy. I mean, a bed is an article of furniture. It's not meant to be played with. And besides, it's too late at night. Don't touch those buttons again. I've told you for the last time that if you...
You said you had to sleep on it, and you can't sleep on it when it's up, and I was only trying to be...
Now, who in the devil's ringing the doorbell at this hour?
Maybe Mother and Dad have changed their mind about letting me stay here, and Dad's come to take me home.
No such luck.
That's a fine thing to say to a guest. You'll see. I'll get even with you.
Just a minute. Now, what do you... Well, Mr. Merriam... Come right in.
I'll come right in. What's going on in here?
Oh, nothing at all. This is my niece, Jackie. Jackie, this is Mr. Merriam, my landlord.
Oh, sir, I'm so glad you broke in. This man who claims to be my uncle kidnapped me, and he's held me captive for the last 8 days.
What? Oh?
I haven't had food or water.
Oh, now look, Mr. Merriam, she is my niece, and I can prove it. Just before you came in, she threatened to get even with me for some imagined injury, and if there's any question
relax,
about...
Relax. I know you haven't held anyone captive for the last 8 days. I was in here just yesterday, inspecting that dripping faucet you're always complaining about.
Uncle Bill says you're so stingy, you make faucet washers out of your old rubber heels when they're too thin to wear.
Well, she's making that up, of course.
I don't think so. It sounds like something you would say. Well, you don't have to worry about that leaking faucet anymore. You're moving at the end of the month.
Now, sir, I have a lease.
Calling for quiet possession. Well, it wasn't very quiet in here, or I wouldn't have had to get out of my nice warm bed to see what was going on.
Well, we just had a little accident. Yes,
and
an
another
accident.
Thing. Your lease calls for single occupancy.
Well, now, if you're referring to Jackie, she's just staying for a week, and anyway, she's just a child.
The lease specifically states no pets or children. Good night, my ex-tenant.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Merriam.
I think you'd better go to bed now, Jackie.
Good night, Uncle Bill.
I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Cromwell, but you see, Jackie here is visiting me for a few days, and there was no place to leave her, so
it's quite all right, my boy. Who can tell? She may be able to give us a few good tips on the market. Hey, Jackie?
I hardly think so. I'm not interested in the brokerage business.
Oh?
Oh, but she will be, Chief. I'm trying to show her how vital the stock market is to the entire economy of the nation.
A fine idea, Bill. Can't start him too young. You listen to your uncle, Jackie. He's a top man in this field.
Yes, he's admirably equipped for his work, according to my friend Hildegard's appraisal of the brokerage business.
Well, you certainly use a lot of big words for a little girl.
Well, some of the words are Hildegard's. She's 14.
Oh, I see. And what is her appraisal of the brokerage business?
She says, the stock market is an international lottery wherein deluded fools gamble money they haven't got as a result of the urgings of unscrupulous mercenaries.
Unscrupulous mercenaries, eh? You mean your Uncle Bill and me?
Just you. My uncle is an innocent tool of the system.
What?
Now look here, Jackie.
While you are a motivating force of monopolistic oppression.
Get this subversive brat out of here.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Cromwell. Jackie's just a little girl who's obviously parroting
you're sticking up for her. Or maybe you agree with her theories.
Well, now, don't be ridiculous.
Now I'm being ridiculous. See here, a man can stand just so much in his own place of business.
I didn't mean that.
No, you didn't mean to be found out. But your thinking is pretty apparent now. Well, my dear tool of the system, you may go to the cashier and draw your check. Cromwell and Company has no use for you and your ilk.
Oh, but Mr. Cromwell...
I have nothing further to say to you, young man. And I want you out of here in the next 10 minutes or I'll have you thrown out. You and your dear little niece.
You know, it's a good thing you found out about him before you gave him any more of the best years of your life.
You know, Jackie, you may be right. I never had any idea old Cromwell could be that unreasonable.
And anyway, as Mother always says, you still have your health.
Yes. I may not have an apartment or a job, but I still have my health, as your mother would say. And I still have a few bucks in the bank, a nice rainproof car, and a sweetheart. I've got more assets than most people have at that.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Pam called you this morning while you were in the shower. I think she's mad at you.
Mad at me? Well, she wasn't yesterday. Well, she even promised to come over for dinner tonight.
Well, she's not coming now. You see, I told her you were expecting another young lady.
Jackie, what made you say such a thing?
Well, you are. Me.
Well, this week won't last forever. I'll tell you what, Jackie, I won't even look for another job this week. I'll spend the whole time with you.
Oh, good.
And Tuesday, I go out to look for a new job, and you go back to school.
I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
I won't. I won't. I won't.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, To the Bitter End, starring David Wayne, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, let's meet Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, who always keeps us so well posted on foods and cooking. Mary, what's the good word on that subject this 4th of July?
Carnation art, today and every day. Because when you cook with Carnation Evaporated Milk, you can count on good results.
I know that, Mary, and I know, too, that we can always count on you for all sorts of exciting ideas to make those good results even better, and always with economy.
Well, thank you, Art. Economy is important because it's not exactly easy for homemakers to come up with interesting meals almost every day of the year and stay inside that family budget.
And that's where Carnation Evaporated Milk comes in.
Yes, because no other form of milk has as many uses as Carnation. It's simply good country fresh cow's milk made double rich through evaporation. Nothing is removed but water. Nothing is added but vitamin D. So for creaming iced or hot coffee, for soups, cereals, fruits, and desserts, for most cream purposes, use your Carnation just as it pours from the can. And in every recipe that calls for milk, simply dilute it with an equal amount of water. Carnation's absolute uniformity assures you of constant cooking results.
And no matter where you buy it, it's always the same good milk.
Yes, and here's something to remember on vacations and camping trips, especially if you have children along. You can buy Carnation wherever groceries are sold. And when you do, you can be sure that you're getting safe, pure milk, as good milk can get.
When you travel, be sure to take along an ample supply of either the large or small cans of Carnation evaporated milk, the milk from contented cows. We return now to the second act of To the Bitter End, starring David Wayne in the role of Bill. Well, our friend Bill has been convinced that child psychology is only a matter of applying a simple rule of everyday life, organization. But when he agrees to play host to his precocious niece, Jackie, his convictions come in for a bit of a strain. 2 days later, Bill has a phone call from Jackie's mother and...
You're sure she's not too much trouble, Bill?
Oh, not at all, Ellen. She's an angel.
Yes, I can imagine. I was sorry to read in the paper about your car.
Well, it wasn't Jackie's fault. I should have put the emergency brake on. And children all like to play with the ignition keys and things like that.
You see, Bill, she's too old to act like a child and too young to be a grown-up.
Exactly. So this is the time when she needs direction and force, and I'm going to give it to her. By the end of the week, she'll be begging to go back to school.
Well, school starts Tuesday. You only have a few more days left.
Yes, I know, but I have every hour of every day all planned, and I've decided on a program that'll make her return to school on her own initiative. That's the big objective.
You sure you don't want Henry and me to come over and pick her up?
Not at all. I'm going to see this thing through to the bitter end.
Gosh, the play was wonderful, Uncle Bill. It was awfully swell of you to buy tickets for it. Why, they must have cost even more than a movie.
More than a movie? Those tickets cost almost as much as they spent to produce a movie. I had to put my golf clubs in hock and take a second mortgage on my Argyle socks.
Well, don't think I don't appreciate it, Uncle Bill. It was the most thrilling experience of my life.
Well, then, the money wasn't wasted. I think young ladies like you should see the outstanding show of our time. The collaboration of our most brilliant author, our outstanding composer and lyricist, and our most imaginative choreographer.
Corey what?
Choreographer. He's the one who created the dances. That's a good word to add to your vocabulary. A good vocabulary is mighty important. That's why people who write plays have to go to college.
Oh, do they?
Of course. You can't write a play like that without a good education. Nor can you write music or become a great actress unless you have the necessary background.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe an education is important. Maybe. Gee, Uncle Bill, I'm glad to have you show me around the zoo. Hey, what kind of animal is that?
That cage, my dear niece, contains a genus of monotremes called Ornithorhynchus. More commonly referred to as the duckbill or platypus. It's a native of the rivers of Australia, Papua, and Tasmania. It maintains a special position in the zoological world because it's the only known mammal that lays eggs.
Gee, you're awfully smart, Uncle Bill.
I have a college education.
Well, it sure looked goony to me.
That, my uneducated niece, was a Matisse, one of the museum's most priceless landscapes.
Well, if I owned it, I'd put a price on it, but fast.
Well, that's because you know absolutely nothing about art. And by the look of things, you have a better than even chance of growing up to be a full-fledged moron.
Gee, I guess you're right. I should know more about things.
Then you've finally come to the conclusion that you do need a little more schooling?
You're twisting my words. I didn't say any such thing.
Well, you said you ought to know more about things. How do you expect to learn? By osmosis?
And now I'm supposed to ask you what osmosis means. Well, I can look it up in the dictionary. The same as you probably did before you pulled it on me.
Well, is that so? Well, it happens that I...
That you have been going through a well-planned campaign to prove to me that I should return to school.
Well, now, I don't know about
and
that.
And you've been staying up until goodness knows what time every night... studying things that'll make you look bright and me dumb.
Now, see here, Jackie, I don't
found
think...
the books you've been using in your lower drawer under that copy of True Confessions.
Look, you've no right going through my desk. It's low and sneaking and unladylike and dishonorable. A man's desk is...
Is his castle. Well, it won't work, Uncle Bill. I decided a week ago that I wasn't going back to school, and my mind is made up.
You're going to go back to school, all right.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
I won't. Pardon me just a minute, Mr. Merriam.
Certainly, my dear. You go right ahead and answer the phone.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello. I wonder if I have the right apartment. Is Bill in?
No, he's downtown seeing about a new job. Is this Pam?
Yes, and you sound like the same person who answered the phone the other day. Who are you?
I'm Jackie, Bill's niece, and I'm only 11, and I was the one he had the dinner date with that night. And you have no cause to be jealous, and I have to talk to you in person right away.
Well, I think that might be arranged. I'm in the lobby.
Well, I didn't mean exactly right away. I'm taking care of something else right now. Could you wait just a couple of minutes and then come up?
I guess I could.
Right. See you about 3:17.
Do you think we'd better synchronize our watches?
That's a good idea. I have 3:15 now.
Check. See you at 3:17, Sergeant.
Well, you're a pretty busy young lady with all these phone calls.
I was sorry I had to make that other one while you were here, but I have to make hay while Uncle Bill is away.
Well, let's say that you've made hay, so far as I'm concerned. I certainly wouldn't make your Uncle Bill give up his apartment when he's planning on being married.
And you'll forget about that single occupancy stuff?
Well, I guess I'll have to. I promised you he could stay.
You're very nice, Mr. Merriam. And you'll forgive him about saying what he did about you and the faucet washers?
Well, as long as he lives up to your promise about taking care of all repairs himself after this and not bothering me.
Oh, he will. I promise.
Oh, he's not a bad sort. I'll tell you what. I'll have some flowers in the apartment when his bride arrives. That'll prove I forgive him. What day is the wedding?
Well, I don't exactly know. You see, Pam and Bill don't know they're getting married yet.
Well, you look nice and cozy in that big chair. What's Bugs Bunny doing?
Oh, I'm not reading a comic book. This is your magazine.
So all you've got to do while I've been gone is to go rummaging through my desk again. And after I told you
now,
that
you didn't... Now, let's not start arguing like a couple of children again, Uncle Bill. We have things to discuss.
I'll say we do. In one short week, you've cost me my apartment, my girl, my car, and my job. And when we last discussed the matter that brought on this avalanche, I had accomplished absolutely nothing.
But we had fun this week, though. Haven't we?
Well, let's say it's been illuminating. I've learned how little I know about child psychology.
Oh, I think you know an awful lot, Uncle Bill.
But I'm through using psychology. This afternoon, we're going downtown to get you a new outfit for school. Maybe that'll help some. But whether or not it does, when the doors open tomorrow, you're going to be the first one in, even if you need a little push. And then I'm going to try and straighten out my life again.
You didn't get the job you went downtown about?
No.
Well, that's good. Because I spoke to Mr. Cromwell on the phone, and I convinced him that you acted hastily, and he agreed to take you back.
What?
I apologized for you, and we had a real nice talk, and he agreed to give you a $10 raise.
No, it's impossible. A $10 raise?
I told him that as a married man, you'd need it.
A married man? What in the devil have you gotten me into this time? Now Cromwell will expect me to produce a wife, and Pam isn't even talking to me.
Oh, that's all fixed up, too. She was a little annoyed about your having another date the other night. But the important thing was that she decided you were trifling with her affections, that you never intended to pop the question. But when I told her you were driven to detraction, when she wouldn't speak to you on the phone...
Driven to distraction.
Yeah, distraction. Well, she agreed that marriage was the thing to settle you, and then I told her how you spend half the night looking at her picture when you think I'm asleep. And then we agreed she ought to put you out of your misery. And so you're getting married. It's all arranged.
Well, I've been told that the man has very little to say in such matters. You know, Jackie, I've always liked being a bachelor, but I have an idea that maybe I'll like marriage even more. Pam's a wonderful girl.
And pretty, too. And practical. She'll be a wonderful homemaker.
Homemaker? Holy cow, I'd forgotten about the...
Oh, you don't have to worry about the apartment. Mr. Merriam even said he'd have flowers here for you when you returned from the honeymoon.
Have you decided where we're going on our honeymoon?
Oh, you're being silly.
And I suppose the rest of the time I was gone this afternoon, you were down at the garage putting the car together with scotch tape.
You are silly. But I did to get all the major issues settled.
All but one. School. And we're leaving to get that new outfit right now. Even if you haven't got as much to learn as I have, you're still going to school tomorrow.
I won't. I won't. I won't.
Well, Jackie, I think that'll do it. One pair of saddle shoes, one pair of socks, those under thingamabobs, one skirt, and one sloppy Joe sweater. Everything new from stem to stern.
Oh, Uncle Bill, you're wonderful.
Oh, it's nothing. I know a kid likes to have new things to go to school in the first day.
Oh, everything's so dreamy. Wait until Hildegard sees me.
You mean you're going back to school just like that? No more arguments?
Natch, you bought me a tight skirt, just like all the girls in their teens wear. And I didn't have one before, and that's why I didn't want to go back to school.
A tight skirt? That ridiculous-looking thing that makes you look as though you were wearing your mother's clothes? That's why you said you wouldn't go to school, because you didn't have one of those?
Well, sure. All the other girls...
And I've been through all this on account of a skirt. Why in the name of heaven didn't you tell me?
Well, you didn't ask me, Uncle Bill. And this last week has been such fun.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring David Wayne. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meanwhile, how about a curtain call, David Wayne?
Sounds good to me, Art.
Say, we certainly enjoyed your performance as Bill in today's story. You really kept us laughing.
To the bitter end? Well, I'm glad to hear it, Art. It's the kind of part I get a kick out of doing.
But tell me this. That role of a bachelor dealing with a precocious little girl isn't exactly what we'd call typecasting for you, is it?
Well, it is and it isn't. I'm no bachelor by any means, but I do know something about little girls. You see, I have two of my own, and a little boy besides.
Well, with a wonderful family like that, you're just the person to have around for what comes next. Because, David, I think you'll be interested in what I have to tell our listeners about Carnation Evaporated Milk for children.
I am interested, Art, but you don't have to convince me. We had our youngsters on Carnation right from the beginning.
Great. Then you know how wonderfully Carnation agrees with even the tiniest babies. Why, you just can't give a baby a better start toward vigorous, good health than with Carnation. To begin with, Carnation is easy for babies to digest, treats their systems gently, and it's well supplied with all the milk minerals and vitamin D, that very nourishment babies need most during their early growth. No wonder 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctors recommended it.
As a matter of fact, I think ours did.
Well, doctors know that Carnation is perfectly safe for babies because it's pasteurized and then sterilized after the can is sealed. Yes, nourishing Carnation is an ideal food for babies. It's the milk every doctor knows. And now, David, for that charming wife of yours, the Carnation mother, we have this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Thanks a lot, Art. I know she'll appreciate them.
Goodbye, David Wayne, and have a happy 4th of July. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Mr. Ronald Reagan in a dramatic play titled I Give You Maggie. And now, here's Mr. Reagan.
Someday I'll propose a toast, and I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, in accepting this award for literature, I want to accept it for the person who deserves all the credit. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
Thank you, Ronald Reagan. We'll all be listening next week to hear you in this moving play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Bud Lesser. David Wayne appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor production White Witch Doctor, starring Susan Hayward and Robert Mitchum. Supporting Mr. Wayne were Sheila James, Jack Moyles, Virginia Gregg, and Earl Ross. The program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure you buy Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
It's Carnation time when it's coffee time. It's Carnation time when you're cooking too. It's Carnation time at baby feeding time. The milk from contented cows for you. All around the clock, it's time for Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we're proud to present John Payne in I Give You Maggie. Stay tuned now to hear Fun for All, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. On this 4th of July, remember to let safety share your vacation trip. You'll enjoy your holiday more if you make safety first your holiday driving slogan. Remember that highways are filled on holidays. Don't spoil your vacation through careless driving. Plan your trip so you won't have to hurry. Slow down after dark. A holiday accident may mean a life, possibly your own. Drive carefully. This is the CBS Radio Network.